Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon. This is Delita Williams, your faith-based community nurse. I'm in the trenches again talking about health and wellness. And I do hope and pray that your week so far has been safe, healthy, and blessed. And so may not be up here very long, but I wanted to share some information again that I came across, which I think is very interesting. In medical community, we do have patients that are non-compliant with the promotion of good health care. There's various reasons. Some of the reasons is because they don't trust the medical community. Some of it is because they themselves do not see the need for what is being required of them. And some are not really actively promoting good health because with their illness, they rely totally on their faith to heal them. So their dependence is totally on a healing from God without the intervention of medical science. Now, I have had the opportunity to deal with people in all of these categories. I have had people who really did not, were not compliant with their healthcare maintenance because they really didn't trust the medical community. And a lot of times they look at what we're doing. They special medicines, they read the side effects and not taking this. Although they've never experienced any side effects, then you have to go into the education and tell them, you know, the side effects are put there because it may have been with one person that had one of these side effects and another person had another, so that we know that's the possibility. Then I've dealt with people who will seek some compliance but will not totally do everything. And we had, when I worked at the hospital, we had a lady. She was Jehovah's Witness. And she consented to all the medical care that we could give her, but she refused blood transfusion. And so we tried the blood expanders, but it didn't work, and she ended up dying. And there was a lot of, you know, a lot of people were hurt because she was well loved by the hospital. A lot of people didn't understand that, and they were furious because she refused to have the blood transfusion. But one thing we did learn is that you have to respect people's faith. You work within the parameters that you're able to, and yet maintain their desire to promote their faith in their healing. And then I've had some who have gone through the process of having the medical services done. And, of course, the illness is still present, and of course, and they're compliant, and then they pray and, you know, and do the things they need to do, and they receive a complete healing. And then I've had those who refuse to do anything, that they rely totally on the healing powers of God. Now, a disclaimer, I believe in the healing powers of God, and I'm never going to do that because I know that God has made the body, and he does have the ability to heal us. He can heal without any intervention, and I believe that. But a lot of times what we have to do is we have to respect the person's religious belief, because it is that belief that's going to get them through whatever situation they're going through. whether we intervene or not, we still cannot dispel their religious beliefs. So the question was posed, if a patient take medication for an illness they have asked God to heal, does that constitute a breach of their faith? It is a moral and ethical dilemma. But in everything that we do, even as Christian believers and me as a medical professional, you have to respect your patients. You talk to them. You explain the options. Hopefully you can give them an alternative. Above all, please respect what they believe. Do not be, I've learned not to be judgmental about what they believe. I had a lady, and she had malignant diabetes. I mean, it was her diabetes was way out of control, and she had been fasting, and she was connected minister, and he told her she was, and she did not have to take the medication, and she refused to take the medication. But in addition, she didn't do anything to mitigate keeping her diabetes under control. Taking the medication, she did not, and she told me she wasn't eating properly. She was going to gym. She was very active, and she said, I wasn't doing anything. He said, I was healing. I stopped doing everything I could, and you know, that I know to do to bring my diabetes along. Well, that's so bad, it started breaking down her kidneys. And, you know, and I got to her, you know, I believe in God's healing, and I'm a, I know what he can do. But if you're not going to do the take the medication, at least do the things that will help keep your blood sugar down, because it can be done. I know a lot of people that were just watching what they eat. And I mean, this is consistent and consistently exercising and, you know, just doing those things. They've been able to take that. So we don't always, you know, don't always dispel what they're saying. Okay? So in this article, which, you know, I've been involved in this situation, like I said, it is promoting compliance when faith gets in the way. And what it is, it found that, and this is back in 2017, so the statistics are from that time, that 66% of U.S. Christians report they believe God can heal supernaturally. They believe that well, to be healed supernaturally by God. And then you have 8% that state they have experienced miraculous physical healing. So, you know, Christians who hold beliefs may struggle with sin and adhering to prescribed healthcare regimen. They may experience shame on top of that. They did an illustration which I thought was pretty hurt is a couple had believed in God for their healing, but they did not experience it, and so that they had prayed for, and so to avoid the embarrassment, they faked it and gave a good confession that they are being healed. While doing this, they were wondering if they liked the faith or a personal defect that prevented them from being healed. And then they begin to question themselves. So it does, whether, you know, healthcare, you know, whether we believe in divine healing can occur, many patients do, and they find themselves in a dilemma. So if they take the medicine for illness, they have asked God to heal, you know, does that constitute that they're, there's a breach of faith there? Sometimes we tend to discount such a consideration. And, of course, it presents a more ethical issue for some Christian believers, particularly for those who believe in supernatural healing. And so we have to be careful with this in terms of when we're talking to patients. We don't, as medical people, we don't debate the validity of Christian beliefs about healing. But what we want to do is learn how to assist those who believe in promoting their health through adhering to appropriate health care treatment. So we don't dispense that. And we don't, you know, we don't look down on them. But we have to find a way to get them to a point where we can do an alternative, or we can help them to see maybe there is a different way. One of the techniques that I have used is that when a patient does not want to completely adhere to a prescribed treatment, it may be a procedure, it may be a medication, I try to find an alternative for them. If this is their belief, you don't push them past what they believe, because it doesn't typically work out positively, because their mental attitude is not where it needs to be. So one of the things that when you have a patient that because of the way they believe, it gets into, it interferes with helping them with their health care, try to find alternatives. And like the lady that was a Jehovah's Witness, she did not want a blood transfusion. But we also can do what we call blood expanders, and it's not a transfusion. And in some cases it does work, and some cases it doesn't produce a positive outcome. And so those are one of the things that we attempt to do. We never want to create a atmosphere where we don't accept a person's belief, because of their belief, it helps their health care to be have a more positive outcome. And so our job is to learn how to assist them if they hold such belief, but learn how to assist them in promoting their health through adhering to the appropriate medical care. And that sometimes you have to be a little creative with that. I try to talk to them, and like I said, one of the things I always do is try to give them an alternative. But the other thing is, and I'm dealing with somebody, but now, but it's not because of a religious belief, but it's the same principle. They have lost faith in the medical community and don't want to take medicine because, number one, there's no confidence in health care. And then the second thing is, the first thing the person did is look at the side effects of the medicine. So my option to him was, listen, all medicines have side effects, even vitamins, okay? If you take enough of them, you'll have side effects. Let's try this. And if you don't still feel uncomfortable with it, then we'll try something else. So let's try it for a short period of time. And I think one of the biggest things I have issues with people is taking blood pressure medicine. That seems to be one of the more common things that people don't want to do, because once I get on, I won't never come off. Well, it just depends on how your body handles everything, and it depends on what you do to create an atmosphere that will lower your blood pressure. And so we just have to be creative in that, reaching our goal. Goal is to help help believers to achieve. We don't want to have them err one side or the other. We want to join this. This should be a mixture of their faith and adherence to their health care. They did do a study on regarding factors that contribute to noncompliance with medical regimen. And some of them included, like, the medication costs, the side effects, which I did tell you about, the level of medical literacy, and fear of addiction. And so there are a lot of things that go into the mixture when you're looking at compliance, even from a Christian point of view. We have to just kind of work with the person and see how well we can intervene, because the bottom line is, the end result is that we want them to have good medical care, but we don't want to dispel their beliefs, because that's not going to help us either. So our job really is very intricate in that we have to find a way to provide care, and we have to include the spirit, the soul, and the body. And if you've often heard me talk that we are three parts, and so we have to intervene in their health care, but the inclusion must be the mind, the body, and the soul. So you got to include everything. It's just not enough to, persuade people to seek health care for a problem, because if their spirit and soul is not in agreement with them, the plan's not going to work. It's not going to happen, and it's not going to work. So that's where we become creative in trying to help people to be inclusive of all this. And it also does involve, like, other people involved in their lives, their pastors and everything. We have to everybody has to be on board and be supportive of whatever decision they make. Help them to see that there are alternatives to being healthy. So it's just a matter of education. It's a matter of helping them to understand that it is the will of God that we prosper, be in health, even as our soul prosper. So if that's God's will, and there, if we look at Jesus' healing, his healing was very diverse in the methods in which he healed. And so I always tell people, healing comes in diverse ways. A lot of it, we can do ourselves just by appropriately doing the things that are necessary to promote good health. I'm just listening at the news this evening, and now they're finding that there's a high percentage, of which I knew this had they had already done a study on, but there's a high percentage of colon cancer in the ages in the 20s to the 40s, which is why they've now dropped the age for getting colonoscopy. And what they attribute that to is the dietary component of you know, what they're doing. So a lot of times when I'm talking to people who are just don't want to be compliant, and even if it is because of their beliefs, I have to go back to them and say, look, this is what you did to your body, okay, and now your body is reacting. The damage is done. What we don't want to do is we don't want it to get any further. We don't want it to progress any further. And in some things, we can even reverse. You know, we have to do what we have to do to get you where you need to be. And the other thing that I really, and, you know, it just depends on the individual how I bring it. But I tell people, if you want to do a work for God, you've got to be healthy enough to do it. I didn't say you're disease-free, but you've got to be healthy enough to do it. If you're not, you can't carry the word of God and you can't do ministry if you're not in a condition to do it. And so you have to do all you can in adherence to making yourself better or at least maintaining your disease in ministry. And that you help in outreach for other people. And those of you don't know what you've done in your past, it has affected your health. And some things we can't reverse. And some things we can make better. And some things, you know, can really be cured. But the thing of it is, you did that in the past. So it's done. Now that you have become a Christian and you want to do a work for God, you need to do whatever it takes so that you can be healthy enough and strong enough to do the ministry that you would like to do. And again, I do not dispel supernatural healing. I know people that have. I mean, it's documented and things like that. But you have to look at what is necessary for you. Every individual is not the same. Every disease is not the same. Every circumstances is not the same. And I tell people, just because you have given your life to the Lord, it does not mean because you're taking medicine that God is not taking care of you. Now, no, medicine does not heal, because if it healed, you wouldn't have to take it every day, okay? But it does maintain a lifestyle that will enable you to do the things that you need to do and to hopefully keep the progression of what is going on in your body from becoming more damaging than it already is. And so those are the things. I'm just very careful about what I say to people, and so that they will understand. I don't ever want to dampen anybody's faith. I don't want to ever discard anybody's belief in terms of their healing in their body. I just try to find a way that I can inclusively add their faith, but yet have them adhere to the regimen that will promote better health. One of the things that when they did these studies and they did a little talk, one of the things that came out from that is the very first topic they tackled was understanding the dietary intake. If I could convince everybody that eating right will promote healing. A lot of people, they want to eat like they want to, okay, but they don't want to do the things that will help them to be in better health. One of the biggest issues I have is people that take cholesterol medicine. A lot of people don't like taking cholesterol medicine. Now, some people say, well, I can't take the statins, but there are a lot of other cholesterol medicines that you can take. Nevertheless, they don't want to take any medicines, but they don't want to change the way they're eating. So what are we saying? What we're doing is we're defiling our own temple because we're not giving it the appropriate nutrients that it needs. They brought out that they had, you know, they had a lunch and they served like fresh fruit and raw vegetables with fat-free dips, turkey, low-fat cheese, wheat bread. I mean, it was all the healthy stuff. And so one of the attendees said, oh, my husband can't survive on that. He does physical labor. Well, that's not true because what they brought out includes all of the components for making energy level at the point that he can do his job. And so that is a biggie with a lot of people is that if they would learn to eat right. I have told everybody, I talk to them all the time, the summertime is the best time in the world to really boost your fruits and your vegetables because you know they have a lot of fruits and vegetables that are out, and this is certainly a good time. And once you do that, you get in the habit of doing that, you can maintain it. Even though you may not always be able to get fresh, you may have to get frozen or something like that. But the goal is to get you in the habit of increasing fruits and vegetables, which a lot of people do not do. You know, it's just easy to get a burger and french fries. I'm not against burger and french fries, but loaded up with tomatoes, onions, lettuce, you know what I'm saying? And you don't have to supersize anything. And another topic that they tackle when you're talking about faith and healing is people and supplements, vitamins, minerals, herbs. Herbs are fantastic. I do not dispel herbs. Actually, I'm growing herbs now, but I'm doing fresh herbs. But the thing of it is, that should only be, that's why they tell you that's a supplement. That should not be the main course for your nutrients that day. I see people taking a whole handful of supplements and they're not eating. That's not the way you do it, okay? They're only to supplement the foods that you're eating to ensure that you have sufficient nutrients. So you don't just take a handful of vitamins and minerals and then say that's breakfast. That's not how it works. And so we have a lot of that going on. And the other thing they explored was the idea that God can use medication. That was another topic. And there are some people that feel like if I'm taking medication, then, you know, then God's not healing me. And I always tell them, because I never want to downplay what they believe, but I do talk to them, and I said, God gave physicians knowledge for a reason. God never creates anything. He never enables anything that is not for a reason. And each thing that he does is for a reason. If you're not able to maintain your health on your own, then the medical community should be involved in that. And you just keep praying until you reach a point where you're doing what you need to do and you don't need the medicine. Now, an example is, I had a young man in my church. I've talked to him for years about his eating, literally years. His A1C got in the 20s, and if you know about A1C, it shouldn't be any higher than 7, so you can see where he was. He got to the point that he started having a lot of other things that was going wrong. And this is his testimony. He said one morning he was laying there, and he said the Lord spoke to him and said, how long are you going to keep killing yourself? And what he did from that day, he started changing the way he was eating. He started exercising more. He became more involved in promoting better health for himself. Now, what does that tell me? He's not on any diabetic medicine. They took him off everything, pills, shots, everything. His A1C has been maintained 5.2 for about 2 years, okay? However, that resolved, but the damage he did to his heart and to his kidneys is still there. He corrected the problem, but the damage that was done is still present. Now, fortunately, it's not at a point where it is detrimental, but it's done. It will never get better. Part of what he's done may get worse over time, but with what he's doing now in terms of maintaining his health is keeping him at a maintenance level. So, see, sometimes we do things to ourselves. And God puts people in place, whether you want to believe it or not, to try to tell you things that you need to do. You don't do them. And so now, I mean, we're not dispelling your faith, but you've done this to yourself. So now we got to work with you to get you back where you need to be. What we have to do, the whole takeaway from this is to downplay their faith, not to undermine their faith, but help them to understand the root of medical compliance is that what we want to gain from all this is the benefit of you complying to the medication regimen, the healthcare regimen, so that you would be able to be a more effective Christian in the ministry. We try to examine everybody's culture, everybody's beliefs, explore how they view healthcare, and we try to bring all of those components together and see if we can come up with a plan that will help promote better health. I did look at this, and it did break down like prevention. How do we care for our temple? And, of course, it goes to 1 Corinthians 3, 16 through 17, and 6 and 19. It goes into what does the Bible say about healthy eating? That's in Genesis. Understanding how much consumption you're taking, eating a variety of foods, timing of eating, using moderate portions, including fruits, vegetables, legumes, and whole grains, drinking plenty of water, limiting your sugar, your salt, and your refined products. And then it goes in, what does the Bible say about exercise? That's in Isaiah 40 and 1 Corinthians 9. Set up your exercise guidelines. And if you do that, you can maintain a healthy weight. get active and stay active. I was talking to someone today who says that a lot of times, and this is we have to bring in everything, that he used to walk, but now when he walks, he gets anxious. He has a feeling of anxiety. This is the result of post-COVID for him. So I told him, I said, look, I used to walk my whole neighborhood. I don't do that anymore. But what I start doing is I walk a certain distance, and I walk that maybe for 2 or 3 days. I said, and yesterday I walked further, and I said, what you need to do is you start walking. When you feel anxious, go back home. The next day, try it again and see if you can go a little bit further. And so those are the things that you do to try to integrate maintaining good health with their mental status and their belief. Because he has high blood pressure, and he's concerned about that, and he's anxious about that, and he's on a low dose of medicine. I said, start walking, you know. And it says, does the Bible say about sleep? And that's in Psalms 4 and 8 and 127 and 2. And getting good sleep, having good sleep habits is essential. It is essential. And then, of course, your treatments. There's medication. There's alternative therapies. And the mind part of you, we have to deal with that. There is scripture for that. And it teaches us that Jesus came to redeem us from the curse of sin and a fallen world. You know, mental health is a big thing right now. And so you have to include faith with that. But sometimes there has to be therapy. Sometimes there has to be medicine. Sometimes there has to be a combination of two, maybe a combination of three. It's just what we have to do is we have to be involved in trying to connect all of the components together to promote better health. It's not always easy, but it is possible. One thing, as I said, I never, ever make people feel that what they're doing when they believe in supernatural healing, I never make them feel bad about that. I don't downplay that for them. But I do talk to them about that, and I do say, you know, these are some alternatives. You can look at it, see if you are willing to do this. I always let them know that what the outcome is going to be if this condition continues. So there's a variety of things that can be done, but we have to really always, we're taught never to dispel their faith, because their beliefs give them more of a positive attitude. You can work with them better. And so that is it for me for tonight. Any questions or comments? Other than that, I am finished.
I like to say that faith is key, and whether a lot of us want to jump up and down and say, you got to have faith in God, you got to have faith in Jesus, we don't understand the relationship that those individuals have with God or with the Son. And a lot of times, I know people used to talk yang about not Betty Grace, Rev Mike. Well, Rev Mike, what he did, he sold people a prayer cloth for $10.
Mm-hmm.
And what I saw in that was that those people believed that God was in that prayer cloth, and that the healing was there, a deliverance was there. I was one of the ones that was talking yang about the Rev Mike. But I realized what the Holy Spirit showed me is that if those people will come to your church, you will not even allow them to come in. But here, he got a prayer cloth, and they shouldn't, no matter how they get their little $10, this was a long time ago. And they were sending
yeah,
to him, and
I
he was sending them that prayer cloth. Yeah, yeah. So he connected them to the divine through the prayer cloth and got them to pray and believe that something is going to happen as a result of their prayer or his prayer
mm-hmm.
for them. And that started them on the road to recovery.
Yeah.
So
yeah, you never just... Yeah, you have to work where people are and work within those parameters. But, yeah, it's for us as medical people, it's a moral and ethical situation. But one thing we have come to realize is that it is necessary for them to believe the outcome, and it's statistically proven. If they have faith in what they're going through and what's being done to them, they're going to come out. Their outcome is going to be more positive.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. Well, that is it for me for tonight. If there's no more questions or comments. So you all have a good night.
I'm staying to you. Too long.
Okay. All right.